kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I you didn't call me on my computer. I have you on my phone right now.
What do I do?
I don't. What's your Skype name?
I don't know.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun show lined up. Joining me, three members of the Grammar Club, Shale Riley, Sean Stone, Ty Gwinley. How are you three doing today? And everyone answer at the same time.
Yeah. Good. Hi, we're doing pretty well. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Very yes.
How you guys doing? What's going on? How's things?
Things are great. We have a Patreon, and we have people who are giving us support financially to release three MP3s or FLACs, MP3s and FLACs a week, three new songs. So we do a new song every Monday. That's an original Grammar Club track. We do a cover or a remix of one of our originals on Wednesday. And on Friday, we do something that's like a session-style, stripped-down, often acoustic, but it might just be like, you know, someone playing an electric guitar, an electric piano, something unplugged style.
Wow, so you guys are busy.
Fridays. We stay busy. Yeah, it's been great. We've been very musically productive this year.
Good stuff.
And we started a radio station too.
A radio station? Where's that?
Yeah, at the Grant. Well, we wanted a way for people who aren't patrons to hear the new stuff. So we just put all the new stuff, since we have a lot of it now, we've been doing a new song at least every week, on an internet radio station, which you can listen to on thegrammarclub.com. So go listen to it. Check it out, the new stuff. We have some of our old album tracks in there too. We've got a pretty healthy catalog for the station. So check it out. It's free.
I like Randall in chat pointing out that you're just cutting straight to the point, shameless plugs right away.
I wanted to get it out of the way so it's off my mind, so talk. I can just really dedicate myself, all my faculties, to just bullshitting in the way you like best. So go prompt me, I'll go do what you want.
We'll start
exactly
at the top.
The opposite of when we had you on our podcast, and then I forgot to ask you about what you were doing until like the end.
Yeah, like the last 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, you do a show, don't you? By the way, I did your podcast. When did it come out? Last week it released?
It just went to YouTube. So it came out a week ago and then a day ago or something similar to that.
So it's out next week.
It's on YouTube right now. I sent you a link to it so you can paste it to your fans and followers.
About a month or so?
And stuff. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, like next year sometime.
So, Sean, it'll you're no out. Stranger to the show. Shale, this is your second time on. I know you were on a couple of years ago. Ty, this is your first time on the show, so welcome. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Wasn't I on in September? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was on in September.
Were you?
Wasn't I? I was on a couple of years ago, and I mean, many years ago, and then again, because it was during the hurricane, right? I was visiting Steve-O, and I was sitting in.
Oh, shit, that's right. That's you right. were.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. Your memory is so much better than mine.
Once in a while. Sometimes. I mean, I don't know.
So wait, you were there. That was when the hurricane hit Florida and you were relocated up to his place, right?
Yes.
How did that turn out for you?
It was good. We rescued a dog and we just saved. We were driving up to get away from the hurricane and we found this stray dog that was in the northern tip of Florida, and it was just... We took it and found it a home up near where Steve-O lives. He helped us rehome it. So then we came back, and it was good, I guess. I don't know. What do you want out of a hurricane evacuation, right?
Stories of joy and triumph.
Yeah, we actually recorded two tracks while we were up there. Now that I think about it, I did the vocals for Spike and the Little Koala and Stronger Than Them All, which are two songs on our Patreon. The same day I did your show in September. So there you go. At Steve-O's house, which he asked I refer to. He asked to refer to his recording space as Steve-O's asbestos basement. So there I've done. I've fulfilled basement. That now. Yeah.
Man, I totally forgot about that. I'm so glad that your memory is better than mine because I am stupid. what was that about, Sean?
Nothing. I just needed to clear my throat.
Oh. I thought you were like hinting at something like, I'm stupid too. Don't forget about me.
No, I would have been much louder about that.
But Sean, you've been on a couple of times. How are you doing?
I just got done streaming, making a song, learning a beefy song in an hour and recording guitars. And that's basically what I do now all the time.
So you just stream working on music?
Not all the time, but I do every Tuesday and sometimes on Wednesday and also sometimes on Saturdays. And sometimes we stream playing Friday the 13th.
Nice. I think you're the only person I've seen actually working on music on the Grammar Club's Twitch account. Is that how it is? Like, you're the only one who does that?
Well, it's because I can. Like, I've got good internet and I can do that and work on music and stream. I think Shale probably could. I know Ty would be probably super interesting to watch, but he has like rural internet problems.
Yeah. Ty, are you on dial up?
Not anymore, thankfully.
Nice. Tanner would be super fun to watch too. And we keep pestering him. He doesn't think he's as cool as he really is, I think. Like, Tanner is a super wizard. And I would love to like watch him fiddle with knobs and dials for like hours. So we're going to convince him to eventually.
I just realized we're a couple of minutes into this, and I don't think we actually covered what is the Grammar Club. Shale, this is your project, right? That you organized and hired everyone, or is this like a collaboration thing primarily?
Well, it doesn't belong to anyone.
So it's yours, right?
Sure. it's two things. It's a collective of musicians working together as a music production house, I guess. We just, you know, create songs from the songwriting phase to the performance, to the engineering, to the production, to the distribution. So we're kind of an autonomous song creating and distributing entity. And we're also, in a broader sense, kind of a union of working musicians. I think we all try to help each other out, and we all try to kind of make money together and individually help each other with our careers. So that's the Grammar Club.
And how long have you guys been together?
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
That's kind of true.
I mean we kind of have been getting together on and off since 2007 or 8. I want to say 7.
Maybe before. Like,
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure we weren't before that.
When did, I mean, we could just look up when Bremmy came out and find out.
It came out in 2007. 2007. Right. And then there was a special edition that came out in New Year's 2008. So what happens is we make an album. What had happened in the past is we would make an album and then just disband for a few years and get back together and make an album and disband for a few years. So we decided to reimagine what we could be and create a Patreon, and it's been great. And now we make 3 songs a week, like I was saying.
Which sounds like a lot of work.
I mean, a lot of it is just kind of you psych yourself out and it becomes work because you're anxious and you feel like you have to do it. But when you're actually doing it, it's not hard.
Plus, it's six of us.
Yeah, it's six of us. That's the real secret. If half of us have a very difficult week with other aspects of our lives and we can't put a lot of time to the Patreon, there is still 3 times the number of people on the average Patreon still doing work for that week. So it's cool. It works.
Nice. Ty, what were you about to say?
I was just
before everyone else cut you off.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not that much work when, you know, you're splitting the workload.
Yeah,
which makes sense. Good talk there.
Good talk.
So how long have you been doing this Patreon stuff?
Since 6 months, 7 months now.
Since October.
Yeah.
How do you keep it fresh on a week to week basis? You said you do like a remix one day, you do an original song one day, you do like a stripped down acoustic thing one day. How do you keep it fresh, and how do you keep the original ideas flowing? Or does it just help that there are 6 different minds bringing different ideas to the table?
It's just pretty much that there are 6 of us and we are all going to have an individual take on a musical idea. And we kind of feed into each other's musical ideas. It's kind of an organic process that we end up with like three potential builds, for lack of a better term. I guess three potential arrangements, really, of a song. But I'm thinking of it from a construction, like engineering standpoint. And I think that's kind of one of the things that gives us our unique sound, that technical kind of engineering attitude to songwriting. So we end up with three branches, or four branches, or two branches. And, you know, if we have more than one interesting way to do a song, I want to do it both ways. So that's what we do. It's easy. It's not hard. It would be harder, in my mind, to cut out the versions of to reduce it just one version of a song, because I would hate to just can a good arrangement that's coming along.
Yeah.
So just as part of our process of writing a single song, we end up writing two or three a lot of the time, pretty much. And it's been good. It's been really great. I guess we are very productive, and we've stumbled on a method that's pretty efficient, and it's not too difficult. So it's been a blast, and really happy that we've been able to maintain it this long, and hope we can maintain it a lot longer.
Sean, you look like you have something to say.
I always look like I have something to say. I'm so authoritative. It's just my natural demeanor.
So what do you want to tell us?
San Dimas High School football rules.
I agree. That is a very good point. I don't know where else this show could go after that, though.
Be excellent to each other.
Yeah, be excellent each other.
Obviously.
What are each of your roles in the group?
Yes.
Yes.
Helpful. Shale, let's start with you. What are your roles? What do you do with the group? What instruments or performances do you head up? I don't know. I'm bad with words sometimes.
Sean has been succinctly saying that we all can do everything. So we all do everything, because in our solo...
Oh, you said doo-doo.
Yeah, I did say do twice. Perhaps not the most eloquent way of putting that. But we all can do all the aspects of creating and publishing a song. There's the songwriting, the performance, the recording, the production, and the distribution, which includes ID3 tags and a little write-up and an image. So any one of us has done all of that many times for many years, because we all have our solo careers or our previous or other aspects of our careers. We've worked with lots of other artists. And in the group, we all do everything at different times when it makes sense. You know, sometimes if a song is a smaller project and only one or two people are working on it, then one person will pretty much do everything, and maybe just Tanner masters it, or maybe not even. But often we do fall into roles where we feel like we're the strongest, or we were the most comfortable. And I guess my role, my primary two functions are logistical coordination, where I pretty much am the arbiter of what happens with the Patreon. I kind of run it by consensus. I won't make any changes to the Patreon that gravely offend any one of us. I seek for unanimous consensus.
You also sing sometimes.
I sing sometimes, yeah. Well, yeah, it's my secondary role. Is I'm one of our lead vocalists and songwriters. I write a lot of the demos that we come up with, but we all write demos. So, running the Patreon, logistical coordination, promotion of the Patreon. I run our social media a lot. We all contribute to the Facebook, but I run our Twitter, and I just made my Twitter our Twitter. And I run our Reddit, and I sing, and I write some songs.
Wow, you even have a subreddit.
Yeah. You
can
too.
Probably join that.
Yeah, that'd be great, Joe. Please do.
I would make an SML podcast subreddit, but nobody would give a fuck about it. Like, people barely give a fuck about the show the way it is.
It's hard. It's hard to get attention on you. There's just so much media saturation today. You know, there's more competition for people's attention than ever. So,
no. Ty, what are your primary roles in the group?
I push the buttons to make things sound good.
Wizard. his official title is Wizard. So is Tanner.
What do you mean by Wizard? Like the guy behind the scenes working the boards and doing all the production and mixing and all that jazz?
A little bit of everything, basically.
live.
If Sean's not around to play guitar, I'll play guitar. Mm-hmm. If Tanner's not around to mix a song, I'll mix a song. So
jack of all trades, pretty much.
Yeah.
He also sings a little.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, he writes a little bit. But, I mean, Ty does more probably arrangements than anyone else in the group. Everyone does a good amount of arranging, but...
He's our sweet and low, our Splenda.
Yeah. Ty is great at taking a song and figuring out what it needs to stop sounding like a demo and sound like something that might be consumable and interesting. He's also extremely versatile, so he can take something and do any number of stylistic things with it. So Ty is largely responsible for the variety and apparent versatility.
If we have a sound, it's because it's Ty's sound.
Yeah, I'd say that's really. That's pretty close.
Wow.
And thanks, as guys. Much as we have, like, this is what defines the Grammar Club sound, it comes from either Ty or Tanner or the combination.
Yeah.
The rest of us just sort of contribute input that they sort of process into what is the Grammar Club. We're the Play-Doh.
Ty's also he does a lot of the production. He's one of our bigger producers, so you know, he'll take our vocals and make them sound good, and choose the best performance from our recordings. He'll take someone's MIDI drum pattern. Maybe I wrote a MIDI drum pattern, and he'll instrument it in a much better way with a better kit, and he'll tighten up my programming if I was a little sloppy, or if he can make it more interesting, or just vary it from section to section so you're never hearing the same piece of music for two identical seconds in a song. You know, one of my songwriting guidelines is I try not to have in an arrangement any identical moments. So like, I don't want a part of the first verse to sound just like an isolated second in the second or third verse. And I think Ty's kind of on the same page. We try to vary stuff up, and Ty is good at adding variations to multiple iterations of a part. So that's a bit of what Ty does.
Please expand upon my virtues.
He's really great.
I'm enjoying it.
Ty's about, he's amazing. I mean, his official title is the Wizard, like it was saying. And I mean, by official, it's just something we made up.
But what was your official title?
Me?
Yeah.
The Collaborator.
The Collaborator. Sean, what about you? What is your official title or unofficial title? And what kind of shit do you do in the group?
Wookie.
The Wookie.
Should have seen that one coming.
Everything Chewbacca does on the ship. No, it started as just being like guest guitar player, but now like we all do all of the things. I've played drums on a surprising number of Grammar Club songs now.
Yeah, I've known you for like almost 20 years now, and I had no idea that you drum.
Yeah, and I didn't, like Ty was just saying, I didn't know I played drums on the last song. I had recorded a loop pack of just a bunch of beats, and then I was just goofing around with them and stitched together a thing, and then Beefy rapped over it, and then unbeknownst to me, Ty and Beefy made a whole arrangement out of this stupid thing that I threw together in a few minutes of me playing drums.
Now, was it program drums or like live drums?
Live drums. Yeah, I'll record loops and things, and then we'll use them. So it's 4 seconds at a time of live drums.
4 seconds of live.
But some of the tracks are all fully live drums. Like at least one of the things on the Carvel EP, and like Stronger Than the Mall and some other stuff. But then I do arranging. A lot of the cover things. Shale will send, or Glenn will have something where it's like, hey, take this and make it more, because right now it's just guitar, bass, and drums. So add more things. So I'm like the sort of second line wizard. Like Ty and Tanner are they're sort of our ringers. They're the big wizards. And I do backup sometimes. And then I've been doing a lot of singing on the stuff too, and a lot of guitars.
I expect guitars from you, but just the whole, like, I'm still blown away that you're a drummer now. Like I had no clue.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't. Oh no, you're a professional drummer now.
That's, I mean, In the sense that I've been paid money for things that I played drums on. Sure. that's happened. But yeah, lots of guitar, lots of bass, lots of arranging. I've done a little bit of mixing and mastering, like, cause Tanner was out of town for a little bit, but yeah, like I said, we all can do everything. So whenever you're listening to any of our stuff, you probably shouldn't know necessarily who did what. Like there are a lot of guitar parts that people will be like, wow, Sean, you did some good guitar. I'm like, no, that's Ty. Ty, I didn't touch a guitar on this song. It was all Ty.
Nice.
And then there'll be times where you just don't know. Sometimes I'll do, like I was saying, a lot of the vocal harmony things. I'll add things in. Cause we all do that. Even Beefy, now we make him sing too.
Yeah.
He's great on I wrote a song called Buy This Truck. And it's really, it didn't have any words or anything. It's just, it sounded like it sounded like a truck commercial. so I just threw it at Beefy. I'm like, here, sing about buying a truck.
Jesus. So
it's great. It's one of my favorite things that we did early on.
Yeah, and he did without batting an eye.
Yeah, just like in an afternoon, he's like, all right, I'm going to sing about driving my big old truck.
He did it with aplomb.
And then he recorded like singing vocals and harmonies, and he was like, all right, somebody replace those, yo. We're like, no.
Yeah.
Please, no.
Nope. Much like your Will Smith cover. Nope, it's perfect.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to play that on this show, aren't I?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, you've explained it on your show. Explain it for mine. What is this Will Smith cover that you're referring to?
I'm woefully unprepared because I forgot what Mega Man song it is that we used. I want to say it was something from Mega Man 3. Was it 2? I think Shale was there, and I think his brother was there.
It sounds familiar. It was that one of your parties, right, Joe? Was that one of your parties?
No, this was at Sean's. Sean.
That was when I broke your screen door, right?
Yeah, it was on the way back from a one-ups thing. Okay.
I think that was actually later on. I believe we started that when I was in for your wedding.
Oh, man.
And then like a year passed and we came back from one of the barbecues with my van full of people.
And then that's when the rest of it.
Yes. And then I think Flick dropped by completely separately another time and added his own vocals to, like, this is an awful, awful song, multiple years in the making.
Yeah. And I found the original version of it after I went through all the trouble of mixing it back down from source files. And it's not as good. Like, the new version's much better. So I'll probably redo it again in a couple of years.
I just realized
you got
the VG mix half of the band.
Yeah. You do have the VG mix half of the band.
I thought that immediately when we got here, but I didn't say it.
We should probably address the missing members.
Nah. the cover that, but I just want to finish the thing. It's a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air plus Mega Man, and the drums are all Pringles can. And there's a lot of singing and a lot of meowing, and that's it. Now we can talk about the other members. We've talked about everybody except Glenn, really. Glenn Case is our most prolific member by far. He can't walk down the street and not write a song. It's bizarre how much he just, like, every podcast he writes a song at the end of it. I think he has one that he was supposed to send you. I don't know if he sent it to you or not.
Oh, did he actually? He probably did record a song for the SML podcast.
I think he did.
Yeah,
I know he played he just did an acoustic bit at the end of the show that I was on, but I didn't get any finished songs.
We'll make that happen.
Yeah, because I think obviously I'm going to play your music at the end of this episode, so I'm going to need some material to play, so you're going to have to send that shit over.
We'll check with him later and send it to you, because I know he did something, but I don't remember how long it was.
So it'll be a handful of Grammar Club songs and then the awful Fresh Prince cover of remix. Now, do you consider that part of the Grammar Club, given how many people have been a part of that song?
That one, probably not. That's a Joe Cam. thing, I think.
A Joe Cam thing.
Yeah. That's
I think
that's,
so.
Yeah.
If it's
we were all just being bad influences on you, facilitating, really.
You all are pretty awful influences on me. I used to be such a pure, wonderful person, and you've corrupted me to scene levels.
It's true.
Shale in particular, just pure corruption.
Me. Me in particular.
Yeah, why not? I think I've hung out with you more than anyone else amongst this group of people.
We lived fairly close by for a while.
Yeah, you guys on the dumb coast.
Yeah.
The dumb coast.
Wait, why is the East Coast the dumb coast?
Have you been there?
Yes, I live. Oh, yeah. Okay. You got me there.
I've never been to the other one. I don't know.
It's warm.
Yeah.
That's the
that's really the main thing about it is it's warm without Florida.
Yeah.
True.
Although it may actively be on fire, so that's why I stick to the middle. We just have tornadoes. It's not safe. We have tornadoes.
You'll just get blown away instead. And then the tornado will carry you to the East Coast, and then you're stuck here anyway.
That sounds terrible.
That's how they get you. That's how they lure you in.
Ty, let's all move in where you live. Can we do that?
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do
Where do you live?
I live in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico.
New Mexico. Why?
That's a good question. Very good question. I don't know.
Why not?
Stuck here.
What's bad about New Mexico? I feel like it's a place I want to go at some point.
Our internet is terrible.
Like the whole state? I mean,
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like own a cactus?
No, that's Arizona.
I don't know. I've never been down there. All the same to me. I guess I'm racist towards parts of the United States. It's just all the same down in that corner.
I mean, some parts of the United States probably deserve it.
Yeah.
That's where we're going with this.
All right.
Wow.
So let's quickly veer away from that subject. You talked about Glenn. Who else is not here on this episode that you'd like to mention and talk about?
Beefy. Beefy's a wizard.
No,
another Beefy's wizard.
Yeah. Okay.
We're all wizards.
Well, we call him the Titan.
He can write a song in like 5 minutes. You just give him a beat and he's like, okay, I'll be right back. And then
that's
back.
True.
And there's a whole song.
Yeah. He's fast. Have you played Scrabble with him?
Oh, yeah. I bet he's good.
I'll bet he is. I haven't played Scrabble with him, but I'll bet we should do that.
Yeah, we should.
Man, I haven't played Scrabble with you in years.
Well, they took away the original one. The original online one got taken down ages ago, and I refused to play any stupid words with friends or something like that.
Why?
I don't even know. It's just anathema to me for no particular reason.
I play Words with Friends. It's pretty good, I think.
I haven't played that in a while either. What are you guys playing? Like, what kind of games are you guys enjoying
Friday
right now?
Friday the 13th, every Sunday at 9:30. Friday That's the 13th.
We kill each other every Sunday night.
My dream, it's fun, but I wish we had just a couple more people playing with us so we could always go to private matches, because the game gets so much better if it's a private match when you can spectate Jason and when you know everyone That's and everyone true. Is on mic and channel. Friday the 13th is a great game, Joe. You play it. You know what it's about. I have just become really fascinated with it, and I just have been playing it more than any game I've been playing since Payday, because it's just such a streamable game. You run into people streaming all the time, and it's a game people play kind of performatively. They're all trying to, there's this Lord of the Flies aspect where everyone's trying to figure out whose lead to follow, and it's just interesting social dynamic in that game. And it's just at the end of the day, it's just like a really dramatic hide and seek game. It's great with your friends.
Also, it feels not ridiculous to role play in that game.
Yeah,
like in a lot of games, like I never role play in an MMO. Like it's all out of character meta. But in Friday the 13th, it feels like you can talk to the Jason. Or if you're the Jason, you can taunt the counselors. I tend to play a helpful Jason. Like I'm supportive.
Yes.
I do. I play a supportive Jason. I mean, if I will chastise you for letting your friends get killed, I will tell you, like, if you hit me, I'll be like, that was a really good job, you guys. You should help him hit me right now so that you can get away faster. And if I kill someone, I'm like, why did you guys let that happen? Like, he was your friend and you just let me bear hug him to death. Like, why, what, you, Chad, you could have stunned me anytime during that and you didn't.
Yep. Oh my Lord.
So he offers a constructive critique as Jason. It's lovely, Joe. You should play with us.
I don't own it on PC. I own it on Xbox One. Yeah. I've never played it myself because I don't have anyone to play it with. I've watched other people play it. I know what the game is about. I don't have anyone on Xbox to play it with. If they ever add crossplay,
they're never gonna add crossplay.
I know.
It is updating Thursday, but not for that. They're updating the graphics engine finally and some other things.
Private hosting.
Rebalancing Jason 7.
Weapon switching, single player mode, new counselor.
Yeah, I heard single player's coming.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that, I mean, the virtual cabin actually is a single player thing. Like, you can do puzzles and stuff in the cabin.
Oh yeah, I feel like Myst. Yeah. Like that kind of game. It's a little bonus game. I haven't gotten too deep into it, but I hear it's actually pretty long.
I might have to check that out. I didn't know that it had that in the game.
Mm-hmm. It's a totally different game.
And you can play with offline bots too.
Yeah.
But you're always Jason.
Yeah. And that's fun.
It seems like it misses a lot of the appeal
playing with bots. It's better than nothing.
It's really good for practicing, like, how to move efficiently, how to do like shift grabs and things that you don't want to be like practicing while you're wasting other people's time necessarily.
Yeah, it's a good design choice because, like John says, you don't want a completely inexperienced Jason playing for the first time with live people. So that's what it's for.
I don't know, that sounds kind of fun to have someone who knows absolutely nothing about the game in charge of killing everyone.
I mean, it's true, but it kind of breaks the mood when they're over the mic, like, "Oh, how do I block, guys?" You know.
And sometimes you're like, "Man, I feel bad that we're like all gonna get away."
I do. Sometimes I hand Jason a kill. Like, if the Jason seems to be trying really hard and he's just not having a great game, you know, sometimes you throw him a win. Just stand, you let him take your head off. It's fine.
Like, hey,
it's all in good fun.
Over here by the bird bath. Come over this way. Come grab me.
But what really interests me uniquely about this game is that I play it intensely, but casually. Like, I'm not playing to win. I'm just playing to have fun, but I play it a lot. Yeah. I am playing kind of to win, but if it would be more fun to lose at any point, then I switch over. You know? I seem to have lost you, Joe.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it cut out or I was just being confusing. But yeah.
I'm just enjoying listening to you.
It's an experiential game. It's very experiential. It's also fun to
just be a dick sometimes.
Yeah.
Apparently,
is that what you do in the game?
Yeah, man, you leave that car there with the keys in it. I'm taking it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's an achievement for that. There's an achievement for taking the four-seater car by yourself.
I have that achievement multiple times over.
So we've established that you guys like Friday the 13th. If I ever get a PC that's actually capable of playing games properly, I'll have to grab it and play with you guys.
So we talk about that game all the time on our show, and on anywhere we go, we talk about it. We should talk about some of the other games we've been playing, maybe, to answer your question more thoroughly. I got a game for $1 the other day called Volgar the Viking. It's an adult swim game. It's so good. It's just like a Super Nintendo game that you're playing for the first time. It's just like
hard as shit too.
Oh, it's so hard. But you know, I play it with my SNES clone pad, and it just really feels genuine. It's a good experience, and if it goes on sale for $1, I'd recommend it again. It's a good platformer, just a basic, non-procedural, classic 16-bit style platformer.
Nice. So you're digging Volgar the Viking. Sean, what about you? Or as No Time in Chat says, Jason Voorhees the birthday clown. What games are you enjoying?
I just finished almost all of Tokyo in Secret World Legends. I played all the way through to the end of Tokyo in the Secret World, and I just finally got caught up. Secret World Legends is like a it's kind of like a multiplayer Silent Hill sort of a jam. Like it's an online, it starts out very Lovecraft, like New England, sort of a spooky thing, and you end up going through New England, then you go to Egypt, you go to Transylvania, where there you have werewolves and vampires, of course. Really, I don't know. It's there.
Like, what do you do in the game? How do you? I don't understand how a multiplayer Silent Hill type of game would work.
Right. It's ostensibly on release. It was an MMO, but it never felt like an MMO because you could grind it solo. So you do quests, like you go to quest givers and they give you missions and things to do. So it plays like a single player MMO, but you occupy the same map as other people. So you can join up or run solo as much as you like or care to do. It does have like raids and dungeons and stuff as well. But the focus, it's got a really, really good story with like thousands of pages of backstory and lore.
Like a
truly ridiculous amount of backstory for everything. But just playing through it with the cutscenes and the voice acting, it's kind of, you know, you do missions instead of being like a linear Silent Hill sort of thing. It's like if you were to take a Silent Hill game and turn it into like a more sandbox sort of free play online thing, it's like that. Super fun if you're into that sort of thing. It used to, the old version before they rebooted it, was really technical as far as like building your characters. Any character, there's no classes, there's no nothing like that. You can pick up whichever weapons you want and whichever skills you want and build your character really well or really disastrously. I think that's one reason that the original game didn't get as much love as it probably would have if it were easier to play. The new game is easier. As far as like the intense nerdery that you had to get into build your characters in the old game, the new one, you pick your two weapons and it's much easier to build and not fail. But yeah, I've been playing that quite a bit. And also I bought Rayman Legends just a little bit ago, purely so that my kids could play the Black Betty music level. That was literally the reason I bought the game. And they have played it a lot.
So is the Grammar Club going to do a cover of the Rayman version of Black Betty?
I don't imagine how anyone could improve upon that.
I would love to hear you guys try, though. Just everyone singing the meh, 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 whatever lyrics they have in that game. What about you, Ty? What games are you playing?
I've been playing Overwatch off and on for a couple of years now. It's pretty much about it. I don't have time for much else these days.
Everyone else has like these long, in-depth, like, this is what I'm playing, this is how the game is, and you're just like, Overwatch, fuck it, I'm done.
Yep. Well, I mean, what are you going to say about it?
Yeah, nobody knows how to play it. It's like, if I were to say, like, I've been playing Super Mario Brothers, would you want me to explain?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, man, it's this game where you press A to jump, and sometimes you press V to go fast.
Because if you were talking to Glenn about playing Super Mario Brothers, there
he probably
would be
could
like,
go in depth. Yeah, he tells you the history about how it got developed.
Well, and the speed running scene,
right? He'd probably be telling you like, "Here's how you do fast 4-2." Like,
yeah.
Well, Glenn is big on the whole speed running and world record scene now, isn't he?
Yeah,
a little, yeah.
He's the what is he the record holder? Is it the Atari 2600 version of Donkey Kong that he's the number one in the
it's
world?
It's not the Atari one. It's a different one.
Coleco Television.
I think it's ColecoVision, and he's got the high score in ET on the 2600 and a couple other things.
That's funny. That's probably his most famous one, the ET one. I always forget about.
I know he has a couple of world records because every single time I've watched him stream, I've seen him set a world record every single time. So I've joked with him that I'm his lucky charm. Every single time I've watched him stream, it's on like, I think I saw him do the Donkey Kong on like mode 2 or mode 3, something like that. I don't know. He's just good at games, I guess.
he's real good at the vintage games.
Yeah.
Old school, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So what is in the future for the Grammar Club? What are you guys working on next? Do you have an album coming out, or are you just focusing on the weekly stuff?
Yeah, we have an album coming out. Sean's getting real close to the camera, though. It's distracting me.
Sean looks like the sloth from Zootopia when he does
that. As a matter of fact, we have a sloth-based album coming out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that is, you know, that is the album.
Sean came up with the... Ty came up with the title.
And the internet came up with the title.
Well, yeah, the internet came up with the title. It's Live Slow, Die Whenever is the title of our upcoming album. And then that'll be out in July.
Live Slow, Die Whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was it really just an album about sloths?
No.
No, it's not okay. About sloths. It's about Jason.
It's about Jason Voorhees.
About Jason Voorhees.
And motherhood.
And Roy Burns, who's also Jason.
Oh, Jesus. You guys are insane.
I know, man. Jesus. What did you think had changed?
Very you know true. That. Very, very true. Well, you guys just recently put out an album in April, didn't you?
Yeah, sort of.
An EP.
tell us about this one.
Do you like ice cream, Joe?
Who doesn't?
Do you like Carvel ice cream, Joe?
God damn right I do.
All right, you're going to like this album.
So I guess someone who works with Carvel contacted Beefy about doing a jingle, potentially. It was an ad agency who works with Carvel, a third party. And Beefy wrote a song about Carvel ice cream. And it just sat around. I don't know. We haven't heard back. Carvel gave us... Well, anyway, fish. Sorry. I totally...
So
we thought it'd be funny to just do a bunch more Carvel songs than Beefy was asked to and see where that would go. And Carvel gave us the okay. And I don't know if they're going to use any of them in any kind of commercial capacity, but we're open to it. The possibility exists.
We keep retweeting each other and stuff.
So. Yeah.
Here's you're hoping. Officially licensed by Carvel.
I wouldn't go that far. Officially not cease and desisted by Carvel.
Not cease and desist. What kind of songs do you have on this EP?
It's about ice cream, Joe.
Well, no shit. Well, like, trying to make conversation here, goddammit.
We should probably send you one or two to play.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
One of them's about Fudgy the Whale.
Always
one
good.
One of them's about Cookie Puss. Are we releasing Cookie Puss this week?
Yeah, we are releasing the revamped the extended Grammar Club remix of Cookie Puss, which will also go on our album.
So it's good that I uploaded those stems this morning.
Yeah.
So somebody
can, so somebody can do
something with those tonight.
Someone who's not on the show could do some work.
Sent to the Wizards Academy.
We also work really fast, which is fortunate.
Yeah, and I can tell doing three songs a week, you've got to work fast.
Kinda.
It's like riding a bike. You just can't stop. It's easy once you get going. It's just stop. It's like you die in a shmup.
Yeah, you then you gotta get back power up. Ups again. Yeah, you respawn with nothing. It's terrible. Anyway, the rest of the album.
The Konami code and Gradius, and then you die, and it's just like, why am I still playing this game?
Mm-hmm. Is that what that's like?
Yeah.
So the rest of the album.
is more ice cream songs. Glenn wrote one. He wrote Fudgy the Whale. There aren't that many songs. There's Cookie Puss. There's Way That. What else is on the EP? It's like five songs. I've forgotten them. We move through projects now really quickly, so sometimes we forget what we just did.
There's Beefy's Treat Yourself, which is, I think,
yes, that's kind what of a single.
Beefy's very catchy rap song, which is the original he wrote for Carvel. It's great.
Oh my god.
I convinced Tanner to chop up Tom Carvel's voice and do a Vaporwave song. I think he did two of them, and one's called Heavy and Weight, and what is the other one called? It might just be called like Carvel Ice Cream or something, but That's Right Too. He did these two phenomenal electronic pieces that I've listened to many times, and I have them on heavy rotation on our radio station, even though we don't have too many instrumental songs on the station, but I make an exception because they're so good. And there's Cookie Puss, which is a song about Cookie Puss that I wrote.
You know, the whole time we were doing this, I totally forgot about the Beastie Boys Cookie Puss. Like, it just
I forgot too until right now.
And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Beastie Boys did
it. That's right, they did.
This band that's hugely influential on us did this thing, and we totally forgot about it while we were doing this thing that people are going to assume was influenced by it, even though we it wasn't. I mean, I guess their song is really just prank calling Carvel Ice Cream, asking about Cookie Puss. But
oh, Jesus.
Whereas ours is actually just a song about Cookie Puss. But yeah, it was weird when I saw that come up, and I was like, oh yeah, they did that like in the 80s.
Yeah, they did.
Like a long time ago. So anyway, I didn't even know they did that. Oh yeah, look that up. They beat us to the Carvel punch a little bit.
That'll be my homework. That's okay.
Beastie Boys are definitely, I need to add them to the bands we sound like.
Oh yeah, good thinking.
Thing. Yeah.
Nice.
I have a whole thing for like promoting Facebook posts that's bands that we sound like. And
you sound like Beastie Boys?
Nine Inch Nails?
A bit. Ohio Players?
None of those are on there. Add those, Ty.
Okay.
The funny thing is none of us is on there. Like none of our own band, like solo bands is included.
Sounds like Ale Sean or sounds like Joe Riley.
Because we don't sound anything like any of those things.
Yeah, it's musicologically, categorically different.
Yeah, I think I put Gorillaz in there and Ben Folds and Cake and They Might Be Giants were the ones that I started with. Because we sound like those guys a little. Like if those guys all made one mega band like Slipknot, we are the Slipknot of indie nerd rock.
You need more members.
Six is a perfect number.
You need nine if you're going for Slipknot level.
We have guest people come on.
Yeah.
Not infrequently.
I think if I were to involve new members, I would just look for a business person to like be our manager, basically. The only new member I think we want.
That would be handy.
Yeah.
If it was a different time, I would offer up my services for music, but God, that is far in my past, as the Fresh Prince song will very clearly show. Pretty awful.
We can still have you as a guest.
No, you don't. No, you don't want to. That
manager position's
idea.
Open, Joe.
You'll have to double beefy on a
part. Be our manager.
I barely have time to do my own shit with this show. I can't go helping other people out.
You just got to incorporate that in. You got to do it live.
Fuck it. Do it live.
On the stream. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about with the Grammar Club that I didn't bring up?
Spokon. We're going to be playing at Spokon in August. Really? August 12th in Spokane, Washington.
Yep. We'll have solo sets and the main set. So if you want to see the Grammar Club, this is your chance.
We don't do a lot of live gigs.
We don't. This will be our second ever. And, there'll be a show running the Double Eyes Backfire set and a beefy set before the main show. So Spokane, Washington, August 12th, Grammar Club.
What is this event?
Show. It is a fandom sort of convention. It's, a celebration of nerdy things in Spokane. We have one in St. Louis called Archon because Arches.
Are we ever going to see you guys play at MAGFest?
My college's convention, Archon.
I don't know.
Are we going to play MAGFest? I don't know. I don't think so, man. We're not a video game band, you know? It's like, I love MAGFest. I will go to MAGFest again, I'm sure, hopefully it'll be financially feasible next year.
Again.
But I don't think the Grammar Club's ever going to play MAGFest because it's just not the right venue for a pop band, for a vocal pop band, you know?
For an ugly boy band.
Video games...
From Camp Handsome.
Video game music is definitely deep in our DNA. It's an influence, but it's not what comes out the in the end product so much. So if MAGFest asked, I'd say yes, but is it going to happen? No.
We've seen so many bands play at MAGFest that didn't have anything to do with video games. I think you guys should apply and try playing there.
Yeah.
But let's see how this goes.
I'm so sure, Shale.
That's true.
We played there as Double Ice Backfire there,
that's true. That was our chiptune rock outfit. Maybe I'm being more strict with their guidelines than they are themselves. Maybe I'm actually, I think I actually probably am. It's evolved into something bigger and more open than it used to be. Who knows? I won't say no. I'll take it back. Yeah, I would love to play MAGFest. That would be great.
What about PAX South?
Sure. Any PAX. Anything.
Specifically South.
Which one is South? Where's South?
South is
Texas.
Austin?
Oh,
okay.
Well, Texas. I guess Tanner is our boots on the ground there. So that's a plus. for playing PAX South?
I want to go someplace warm.
Okay.
I like warm. I don't want to go to PAX East. Is like, where's PAX East at?
Awesome. If you stay where you are and you wait like 6 weeks, I think you're going to be in a good place temperature wise.
Yeah, but like 10 minutes later, I won't.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Get a bit of wind there. A bit of weather change.
St. Louis is not the, like, if you look at the list of 50 most wacky weather, like unpredictable weather states, mm-hmm. St. Louis is not, like, if you're looking at like only populous ones, there are places that are way worse, but no one lives there because of how bad they are. But as far as like major cities, St. Louis and Kansas City are both in the top five. Mm-hmm. Like Missouri's got two of them on each end. And yeah, St. Louis is ridiculous for being like 90 degrees one day and like 50 the next day.
Yeah, Albuquerque is kind of that way.
Yeah. Mustin came to visit me one time and he stayed like, it was over Christmas break, not over actual Christmas, but like the week after, and it snowed. And like I had gone out, and while I was gone, Mustin had shoveled the sidewalk in my house. I'm like, oh, dude, you didn't have to do that. And he's like, oh, no, it's no big deal. I mean, I was like, no, you literally didn't have to do that. It's going to be 88 tomorrow. Like, the snow is, and the snow all melted that day.
Wow.
I was like, dude, I mean, you just literally didn't have to shovel it. It's all going to be gone in a few hours. He's like, no. And he's not even from that far away. He's from Arkansas.
Yeah, like, it's only a few hours difference.
Yeah, he's like 6 hours south and west. So I was like, you don't have this down there? I thought you guys had the same thing. Because they have the same thing in the summer where like you take a shower and then you go outside and you're like, that was pointless. I need a shower again. Like you get out of the shower and it's all steamy and you dry off and then you walk outside and you're like, I should have brought the towel with me. Because I need
humidity
to do that again.
Sucks. I fucking hate humid
so
weather
so much.
Oh man.
Anyway, why are we talking about that?
I don't know. You mentioned Spokane, and now it's gone to MAGFest,
I don't want to go to like the cold coast or the east. I don't want to go to the and I don't really want to go to the north
coast.
I'll make a note,
and now it's the cold coast.
Well, that's why it's dumb.
We'll try to play PAX South with priority. PAX South, if we can play any PAX.
If we can pick a PAX to play, pick PAX a peck of peckled PAXes.
Is there like a
South
PAX?
I do want to try
some of that Texas barbecue.
Vegas would be nice.
Vegas would be all right. Yeah, be okay.
Is there a PAX Vegas?
Vegas has the Deathwing thing.
They need a PAX Vegas.
I don't know. I want to try Deathwings.
You know the ones I'm talking about, right?
Is that Quaker Steak and Lube? No.
It's at the Wing King, where they have
Wing King is at Vegas.
Yeah, that's Vegas. That's where they have the wings that like will, if you eat 10 of them in a half hour, they give you 100 wings on Super Bowl Sunday.
Why?
I feel like I could do it, but I've seen enough
people try to not have that hubris.
I ate fall, which is supposed to be the hottest curry that they make, and I could have finished it. It's just the portion was too big.
That's the other
reason
thing.
I couldn't finish that. But 10 so wings, wings. 10 wings is no problem. 10 wings?
I could that's be lunch. Wrong. Maybe a dozen.
It's still
oh,
lunch.
That extra two is
a
clearly...
dozen wings. Joe, wings.
12 what, wings, no
what
problem.
What was that again, Shale? Do you want to try that again?
No, thank you.
Wings. I'm looking it up.
I could do 12 wings.
Come on.
I'm not big on spicy stuff, so
are you guys kidding?
I think it would wreck me.
I could sit here and eat 30 wings by myself and then like cry myself all the way to the bathroom.
All right, let me look this up because I feel like I'm misrepresenting them.
Maybe they're just really big wings.
Are they like...
I'm guessing like it's legs? The heat.
No, it's not the heat, it's the humidity.
It's got to be the heat.
God damn it, Sean.
It's 12. Okay, it's 12 wings.
Okay,
but it's in 20 minutes or less.
Okay,
and you have to eat them fully to the bone.
Okay,
and lick all the sauce off your hands and fingers.
I would do it, man.
No napkins, wet wipes, shirts, or wiping mechanisms are allowed. No other food or liquid may be ingested during the challenge.
Oh, no liquid at all.
That makes it hard.
Yeah.
Oh, you're fucked.
No milk. No alcohol, no, not even water.
I think you'd just have to do it as fast as humanly possible.
No other. Yeah, that's what you have to do. All right. That's probably too hard.
Yeah,
man, I would try.
Eating 12 wings in 20 minutes doesn't sound like much, but I think about it and I'm like, I mean, I could eat like 20 chicken nuggets in 20 minutes, but I don't know if I could do full wings.
I could do 12 wings in 20 minutes. Nope. I could do 20 wings in 6 minutes.
While they're actively killing you. Like while they're actively trying to climb back.
12 wings isn't the problem. It's the heat of the wings that is the problem.
Yeah, it's they're both. It's the heat plus the quantity. Because if it was like 4 really gnarly wings in 10 minutes, or even 5 minutes, 4 really gnarly wings, you could do it. But that many, that hot in that time, I think.
You know what would be great after you eat those wings? Carvel ice cream.
Yes, yeah. Carvel ice cream would be fantastic after you eat those.
And on that note, we are going to wrap up this section of the show. Sean, Shale, Ty, it has been awesome having you guys on the show.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are all clinically insane. You've got to be clinically insane. I don't know how we go from talking about MAGFest to talking about wings in Vegas that might kill you, but you guys are good.
We always do. We always
do. We talk about food a lot.
Every time.
We a lot of food talk.
Nice.
Especially when we get going on candy. Like, see, we love some candy.
If I had the time and resources, I'd love to just prepare a sumptuous feast for us all at Spokane. Just spend a couple days cooking, and then we'll just hang out and eat it. But, you know, maybe someday.
Well, if I throw another party, I'll let you cater the party, Shale.
Yeah, you should. You should. Nice. Well, I have time. I'll come like 3 days early, and we'll just Thanksgiving up the joint, you know?
Sounds good, man.
That'll be great. You should do like an SML barbecue. Do a 20-year anniversary JoCam's pre-MAGFest party.
Yeah, do it. Make it Earthbound related, so I'll be less happy about being.
Well, yeah, when's the anniversary of Bound Together?
God, what's the 15-year was just recent.
Holy,
I think.
The 15-year.
So when it turns 18. Well,
yeah.
When it turns 18, it's gonna get high as shit.
There you go. And
commission a whole other set of Earthbound songs.
Dude, I've tried doing that before and it just goes nowhere.
Well, you Bound Together was
just an amazing one-off collection that just magically happened, and I don't think anything could ever come together like it did as quick as it did.
Well, you gotta bind it.
Yeah, maybe.
You need the right rings and the darkness to bind them.
You need wizards.
Like wizards. We have. And that's what you guys are here for the wizardry. But yeah, we're going to take a quick musical break. We are going to play the legendary Fresh Prince cover that that Sean has so graciously provided. Later on in the show, after our reviews. Am I going to have background music this whole time?
If you want, or if you don't want.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'm just going to cut there and go right to the song. Fuck it.
Take a minute, just sit right there, tell you how he came the prince of a town called Bel-Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spend most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all corn, all shooting some b-ball outside the school. And a couple of guys, up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air. I whistled for a cab and when it came near, the license was officially that ice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it, you're home to Bel-Air. Bling, bling. I woke up
to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there. Sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking around. Thanks again to Sean, Shale, and Ty for coming on and chatting about the Grammar Club and all of their wonderful, insane music. We do have a few reviews we got to get to. Not too many. It's going to be a quicker one. But we're starting off with Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles, developed and published by Prideful Sloth. Released May 17th on the Switch for $29.99. A physical release will be available in June for $39.99. Unwind and enjoy the slow life in Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles, a relaxing open-world adventure game. Yonder is set in the world of Gemia, a natural paradise with 8 distinct environments ranging from tropical beaches to snow-capped summits. Checking this one out, our good friend Pernell Vaughn. Pernell, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, though. I am currently riding the waves of jet lag, which is funny, because I didn't think you could get jet lag from a 2-hour flight. Look at it.
Where'd you go?
I went to Chicago for Anime Central. I had some panels to do there with some friends. I did a Mega Man panel and role-playing games panel. So,
oh, look at you, jet-setting, high-rolling, I don't know, something.
guy barely got on plane and can't fit in seat. That's what I am.
You know what flights are great for, though? Playing Switch games.
Which is pretty much what I did when I reviewed this game. This was the Switch's portability getting his inaugural test drive, because this is the first time I officially took it out of the house for a long distance trip. And I am glad I had this game with which to undertake that journey. So first thing worth pointing out that I just wanted to laugh and get kind of a chuckle, that the company's name is Prideful Sloth. When you boot the game up, their logo shows up, and it is probably one of the longest loading screens I've come across in a while. So there's like an odd level of humor from the fact that you're just watching Prideful Sloth, and then it takes a while. Like, oh, that was intentional. I know it was. But it's not a game loader or nothing. It was just something that it just caught my eye, and I laugh every time I boot it up. But as for the game itself, so I have dubbed it Yonder Breath of the Mild. Yes, it's so appropriate. Like, essentially, this game to me is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, but inject the casual aspect of, like, say, Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley and pretty much that. So you wake up, your main character is sailing on the sea, crash lands on a mysterious island. You already said the name of the island in the description, so I'm not going to do it, Jimmy. Never mind. And the goal ends up becoming, you're trying to figure out what you're doing there, how to get off the island, and also, I don't know, start a farm. Because that's what cool kids do in Gimme, is they start farms. So the way you go about, you know, solving the mystery of yourself and the island and getting off of it is by helping the townspeople and locating these little critters called sprites, which you need in order to push back an encroaching muck called the murk. The murk is a purple haze that envelops the environment in certain locations, which prevents people, or more specifically, it prevents you from getting through it. So what ends up happening is you'll go to a location, it's like whether you're wandering across the map or you'll go to a township or one of the very many places you can go, and you may come across a person. That person will need a favor. Favor could be anything from find my lost cats to find my lost friends to give me some crap to buy me a shirt, all sorts of things. And it is your job to make the people happy by fulfilling their requests. You can also fulfill the land's personal requests by planting trees, taking care of the environment, and taking care of animals. Interesting things you can do. And as you fulfill these requests, you slowly make the location, I guess, happier. And as you make the location happier, it comes in the you get benefits in the form of boosts to the environment. Like, maybe if you're growing, you know, crops on your farm, you'll acquire more from what you actually, you'll acquire like a harvesting boost, so to speak. Things like that. So it's kind of nice, like, as you do better, as you do more with the environment to make it a more positive atmosphere, the game rewards you, the player, with benefits to the gameplay. So there are ways to get these items and things to which to make people happy. you can harvest things on the map. And what that is, like, you get a number of tools ranging from hammers to sickles to, I don't know, pickaxes and more. You can use those things around the atmosphere, the environment, to break rocks or chisel at walls or fish for fish. You can take all those things and sometimes take them to people and give them to them. Other times, you can take those items and craft them into new things and then use those things to make people happy. Also, there are traders all over the map, people who have items that want things in return to make them happy. So there is no actual gold that I can tell in the game, aside from maybe something called like an Old Kingdom coin, which I never even bothered with. I just collected a bunch and didn't spend them. but when you go to different traders, depending on the region that they are in, different items carry different values. So think of like an actual living, active trading marketplace where in, say, I don't know, in Baltimore, crabs are probably worth less than they would be worth in, I don't know, Arizona, where crabs will be worth a ton because you can't get crabs there. So you might find your character going out and grabbing lumber and taking it to a town where they're lumber light and selling it there or trading it there where it has a higher value and then getting stuff from the people there based on the value. So it's like, say, I want a shirt. Shirt is valued at $1,200. I can trade them 5 stalks of lumber. Lumber trades at like, I don't know, like $25 or $250, but due to the region, it has like 100% bonus. So it's actually worth $500 per block of lumber. Boom, not too much money, too much lumber to get the shirt or whatever. So sound long-winded, but it's really not. It's pretty simple. Take things where it's valuable and trade it for things that they have done. There is also an interesting, like, there's like crafting guilds. So you can become like a chef or an architect or a tailor and other sorts of things. And those jobs will allow you to craft different elements too, which will also help you on your quest. Like one of the earlier ones I came across was a woman wanted festival juice. I joined the chef's guild, fulfilled the initial quest requirements, became a chef minor league level, and learned how to make festival juice. Prepped it, gave it to the woman. She wasn't a woman. She was a sprite for some reason. And then she came along with me. So
nice.
This is odd. It all sounds kind of like meh or bland when you think about it. I mean, we've hit a society where there are some mellow games, but we usually want combat in these games. And that was originally how I came into this game too. I was like, where's the weaponry? Where are the monsters to fight to give me my challenge? But then something happened. I came to appreciate running around, just looking at the atmosphere for what it was, watching the sun come up and go down, coming across a weird jellyfish ring that was ridiculously neon and fun. And just kind of taking it all in and just exploring it, not caring about dying or anything. You can't even die. Like, if you fall in water and drown, they just put you right back on the shore. There's no death. So
it sounds a lot like all of the non-combat stuff of an MMO.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. Just no one's running around griefing you.
Which is good, because that's what I hate about MMOs.
There you go. Yep. No grief in here.
The worst part of MMOs are the other people.
Isn't that the truth? Like, the best thing about them, other people, and the worst thing, other damn people. Kind of like the internet. Information, worst thing, the other people. it's just weird. But the game works. It's hard to, I guess, if you're tired of, like, playing, you know, the constant rushy rush and need to feel challenged. You just want to play a game where you can accomplish things through sheer pluck of solving certain puzzles or coming across a good way to make trade acquisitions happen, or just want to create a nice farm with cool animals that can give you milk that you can then trade in another township to get a shirt, more shirts, because you get clothing in this game, and you find shampoo in chests. People are burying shampoo on beaches. This world is weird, but yeah, essentially, if you want that kind of game where it's a very relaxing atmosphere and you're feeling challenged in ways that aren't from the matter, a means of dexterity, just in the means of if you have the wherewithal and desire to move on and do a thing, accomplish a goal or fulfill a task rather, you'll accomplish the goal. No RNG issues required either, which is also nice.
Cool. So $30 on this one. What do you think of it?
Fans of Stardew Valley, grab it. Fans of Harvest Moon, grab it. If you like Breath of the Wild, but didn't like the idea that you had to fight dudes with busted weapons, fight nothing in this game. So go ahead. It all works. It's just a quality game. But I will say, if you feel as though your games absolutely need combat or some kind of violence, you're not going to get it here. But I would advise a person to not necessarily dismiss this game because of that. I almost did. And now I like it. I'm still playing it.
Good to hear. For now, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. I told you it was a quick one, so do you have any final thoughts to wrap that one up?
I want to sleep too. I got nothing to say, but I will say I think I'll be more up to shooting out the final details next week when a special guest might be joining us. I think that special guest will be Energy.
All right, next game to talk about is called Runner 3, developed and published by Choice Provisions, released May 22nd on the Switch and the PC for $29.99 digital, $39.99 for Switch physical version. The Timbletot is determined to rid the multiverse of Alt's love and happiness. Commander Video, a lover if there ever were one, refuses to let this happen. He's ready to jump, double jump, wall jump, slide, kick, float, fly, and dance his way to victory all across a medley of thrilling, challenging, and joyous levels. Checking this one out and aghast at the price of the Nicholas physical edition is Tim Ekibis. How are you doing?
I guess it makes sense. It's a Switch game. What do you expect? Yeah.
And it's Nicholas, so there's going to be some goodies in there as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. Whatever. Yeah. It's irrelevant. It's
Switch tax.
Switch tax. Well, is it, at least it's not Switch tax on the eShop as well. That's
very true.
Yeah.
The House Runner.
It's pretty good. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put my water here. I'm a mess, man. I'm a mess. I've been off for a week. My whole life is out of kabobulation. Anyways, yeah. So I am in the rather interesting position that I guess I didn't play the previous two Runner games. I didn't play Bit Trip Runner or Runner 2, despite the fact that I own both of them in some capacity.
Proud of you.
Yeah, well, they're in the backlog along with hundreds of other things.
Oh, they're in mine too. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I am coming at this one fresh with no idea how the other ones were. So, anyways, yeah, this is a runner game in that your character, Commander Video, or Miss Commander Video, Lady Commander Video. I don't remember what her name is. Sorry. who is pink? They run automatically. They just fucking run left to right, or, you know, right to left as the stage may require, of their own accord. And then you have to get them through the level by, well, as you described, jumping, double jumping, sliding, kicking, et cetera, to avoid obstacles and get through there. And yeah, it is a very precise game.
Very precise.
It requires you, like, there's not a lot of room for error, I guess, going through these levels. The game's fucking, it's kind of hard, it's tough. In that, you know, you levels only have one checkpoint in them, and if you fuck up once, basically you're back to either the start of the level or the checkpoint, as the case may be. Which is tough, because, you know, you're running automatically. You don't have a moment to kind of, when you encounter a new obstacle or you get past the last thing that was sticking you to, you got to think on your feet or you die and you go back, and then you got to sit there and really concentrate, like, okay, what do I have to do after I get past this thing? What do I have to look out for? What do I got to do? And that can be tough. It requires you to be very engaged, paying a lot of attention to what you are doing. It is not really a casual platforming experience, I would say.
Now, are the levels pre-made or are they random levels?
They are pre-made.
So it's kind of like the old school Mario games where there's just one checkpoint in the middle.
I guess. Yeah. But man, they are way more dense with shit to kill you. Because, I mean, everything is meant to kill you. Really. Let's see. Yeah, so you'll have things you have to jump over. You have to double jump. You have to duck under. Jump over, slam yourself down, slide under the next thing, then jump up over the next thing, and then something else comes out. You have to kick this, jump over that, jump and kick. There's some things. There's a few really annoying things. I don't know about really. I guess it depends on how frustrated you are with any particular level. annoying things with level where it's like, there's some obstacles, like rises, say, like ledges or things. There's some things you can jump on top of and then jump off of them. And then there's some things that you can't jump on top of, and you will die if you land on top of them. And it's not always obvious what it is. Like, yes, this is a spiky robot thing, I shouldn't jump on it. But sometimes, like, there's just particular protrusions from the ground where you're like, oh, I should be able to jump on that or at least touch it, you know, and fall off the other side. But no, you just die. And it's like, well, fucking goddamn it. or sometimes you miss a ledge by just like just a tiny little hair and then you die. And it's like, well, fucking come on, man. And, you know, sometimes it does a thing where it throws an obstacle at you very fast, or there's some things in the level that will sometimes speed your character up. And so suddenly, like, you'll land from a little, like, flying section. There's little flying sections. And then you're suddenly going faster. And it's like, oh, shit, I have to readjust my brain to moving faster. But now I died. And then it's like, okay. Sometimes because the game is polygonal, like, you'll start running, like, the course will turn into the background. So the perspective gets a little skewed and it gets tough to read exactly when you need to jump over things, which is a little bit cheap. So those things are kind of annoying. Each island has a theme to it. So it felt like a little bit like Donkey Kong Country, in that you go through like an island and it has its theme. Then you go on to the next one and it has a bunch of levels and secrets and stuff on each one, just in that particular respect. But so the first island is like all food themed, and then there's one that's all spooky themed. But I don't know, a lot of levels end up feeling kind of samey. Like, I know that there is variety in the backgrounds, but you can't really look at those because you need to look at the shit that's in your way, or else you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something in a rhythm game. Like, you can't really look at everything that's going on in the background of a rhythm game unless you're watching someone else play it. So, you know, just at the front and center, it can kind of get a little like, it felt like each world kind of dragged a little bit, and that I was seeing the same obstacles and kind of over and over again without really seeing the variation getting to enjoy the variation of the background.
Yeah.
That said, there is a ton of fucking shit to do in this game. Holy crap. So each level at its base has, you know, you can clear the level. There is 100 gold bricks, which are these nice big fatty gold bricks in each level for you to collect. Once you beat a level, you unlock a gem run for that level, which it's not entirely different. It has some alternate pathways for you to take to collect more stuff. And each gem run has its own 100 gold. There's hidden items. There's quests for unlocking other characters. There's these mini retro games you can unlock from finding these VHS tapes. And as you accrue like gems, I think it's just the gems and like other stuff, you can use that to buy like cosmetics for your character. There's just like a lot of stuff there. If this is your thing to sink your teeth into and play.
You mentioned characters you can unlock. I hear there's a pretty nice lineup of guest characters in this game.
Yeah, I have heard things. Yes, one Charles Martinet does voiceover for this game, who also voices Mario. Yay. How interesting, right? How interesting. What a coincidence. Weird that. Funny that. And it's on the Switch. Funny that. Huh. Weird. It also made me realize his name is pronounced Charles Martinet, not Martinet, as I have heard in many places. But he pronounces his own name, so I assume he knows how to do it.
You would hope so.
Yeah, the game has like a fun tongue-in-cheek attitude, like all throughout. Like, the levels are very weird and goofy and like kind of like a almost a Spumco Ren and Stimpy sort of way. It's very lighthearted overall. It's just like the game is a motherfucker. Like, it could be really frustrating at points when you're trying to get through these levels and then you can see the goddamn checkpoint and you keep dying right before the checkpoint. You got to replay the whole level up to that point, like, not fucking up anything that you did. And then you get in just like sometimes, like, it was weird because some levels I would breeze right through and I'm like, you know, I'm feeling this. The game, you know, the original traction of the Bit Trip series is that the sound effects and what you're doing in the game kind of meld with the soundtrack to make this synthesizer, like, you know, res like thumper like experience, you know, like a rhythmic experience, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying here? But I had a tough time getting into the groove because I just kept fucking dying. And like, the music is good. And I guess we should say for disclosure that Mr. Stimage,
Grant Henry,
Grant Henry, who does work for this podcast, did do music on this game, though I don't know him personally. So as I told Joe when he gave me this code, I don't give a fuck about his feelings with this game. Just to be clear, there's no conflict of interest here, or yes, a limited one at best. But yeah, the music is good, but like it seems like there's only like a handful of like songs per island. So it's not like every level has its own unique music. I mean, that would be a ton of music, but still, like, it ends up sounding a little bit samey. And one of the things is that, like, you know, when you collect like a gold bar or a gem, it's supposed to make a little tone, right? That kind of, it's like, oh, I got it, and it jingles along with the music. But there were sometimes when the sound effect just didn't go off or went off a little bit late, and I don't know why. I don't know whether that's like a glitch, or maybe I just wasn't grabbing it solid on the beat so it doesn't play when you do that. Maybe. But yeah, it was a weird thing for what the game is trying to go for. I don't know why I closed my notes when I'm not done talking about this game.
I am very proud of you today.
It's been a long week, man. yeah. So like I have like two like dueling recommendations here. 'Cause like for me personally, not being a big fan of the runner genre, and you know, not having any attachment to the rest of the series, like, it's clearly like a very well made game that is just not really for me. But if you were into Runner and Runner 2, like, holy shit, you are probably gonna fucking love this game, because it is that, and it has just a ton of content to do. I mean, like, I could see, like, if I was really deep into the gameplay, like, my God, it would be so hard to put down, because there's just so much stuff to unlock, different runs to do, like secrets to uncover, characters, etc., 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 etc. But when I'm just getting fucking smoked and taken, and it counts your attempts on every level, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad idea, depending on how things go.
What are some of your numbers like?
Yeah, the worst ones were in like the 20s.
Nice.
But it was weird, like I'd had somewhere it's like it was like zero up till the checkpoint, and then it was like 30, you know, 20, 30 deaths. I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then there was other levels where it was like 1, 2. I was just like breezing right through it. And then there was somewhere I just like wasn't getting like the timing of a jump, like whether I need to double, like there's some complexity there, because you can jump, you can double jump. If you hold the button, you float like a little bit, like a little bit. It's not like a
Yoshi float.
Not even that. It just very gradually slows your descent.
Mm.
So yeah, it's not like a Princess Toadstool thing. It's not like a Yoshi like thing. It's just kind of like so it's tough to know. It's like, okay, do I gotta like jump and float? Do I gotta double jump and float? Do I have to like do like a delayed double jump and float? There's like you fall off a ledge, you can still double jump, which took me a while to figure out. Like, I'm like, so do I got to pull some bullshit like that? You know, what do I got to do here? Do I have to just like land earlier off the previous jump so I can do the thing? So like, so yeah, there's dueling recommendations here.
Well, like, let's summarize real quick.
Yeah, let's summarize. Yeah.
To summarize, fast-paced, twitchy platformer, a lot of precision, loads of memorization so you know the levels, and a shitload of content.
Yes.
So $30 on this one. What are your verdicts?
My verdicts are, if you are a fan of runner games, if you are a fan of not just the runner games, but the endless genre runners, in general, the genre of the runner, like, yes, absolutely, this is the game for you. It is high quality. It is filled with content. It looks good, plays well, you know, great on the go, et cetera, et cetera. If you are not as in love with the runner genre, or frustration, I guess if you're a little more tepid, I would give it a try it. Like, it's still definitely like a high quality thing. And if you were going to get into a runner game, like, this is the thing, man. Like, they are going all out, balls to the wall with this thing. Whereas most games are, you know, they're little, consumable phone games for like a few bucks, like, you know, Super Mario Run, or like there's been runners for everything over the years. But I would give it a try it. For those that are a little less into the runner genre, for sure.
I wish I could remember what was in the physical version to ask you if that one's worth it for $40.
I wonder if there's a soundtrack. Is there art?
I want to say there's a mini soundtrack for it. I'm just going to look this shit up right now. I don't even care.
I'm already doing it. This is great.
Launch Edition includes the Switch game card, a full-color instruction booklet, a soundtrack sampler mini CD, and a Commander Video PVC character strap that lights up. So that sounds pretty good for an extra $10.
Yeah, that's pretty neat if you're into having more junk in your house.
Which, who doesn't love more shit to have?
Man, eventually you got to pump the brakes on that. But yeah, that's
I am living proof of that. You have to pump the brakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every now and then I go ham on a limited edition, but not all. But yeah, so that's runner three roll for you, boys.
Good stuff. Tim, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Do you have any final thoughts to wrap it up or another Yoshi sound effect to make? All right, next game to talk about is called Reverie, developed and published by Rainbyte Limited, released May 10th on PS4 and Vita for $12.99. With restless spirits threatening the safety of Toromi's island inhabitants, Tai must venture through the dangerous dungeons and across a variety of environments to put the spirits to rest, all in a summer's holiday. Checking this one out, Chris Taylor. Chris, how are you doing?
I am doing all right. I just did some last second research on this team.
Is it whether or not I said Toromi Island correctly?
No. That's just fine. It's a fictional island, so
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I was just going to get into the fact that the game is set on a fictional island in New Zealand. And this, indeed, the game development studio is based in Auckland, New Zealand.
Nice.
So that's what
it all comes full circle.
Yeah. Well, I figured it was because there's no real reason for a video game to be set in New Zealand. No, I know. I love New Zealand, though, because I love Flight of the Conchords. And, I can't remember the director that did Thor Ragnarok.
I'm terrible with names anymore.
Anyway. Well, he also directed Eagle versus Shark, which is a good indie film set in New Zealand. So I'm actually quite a fan of stuff that comes from New Zealand in that sense. And it's all very self-deprecating, so I like that.
Taika Waititi?
Yeah, that's the one.
Nice.
And I don't know how
Google.
I don't know how his name is pronounced.
Me neither.
So having nothing to do with that, Reverie is an adventure game that again is set in New Zealand. The easiest way to summarize it is that it's a little bit like Earthbound and mostly like Legend of Zelda. So you play Tai, who is a little boy who wears a baseball cap and wields a bat, except that in this game it's a cricket bat. Oh, and he gets a yo-yo, of course.
Nice.
Oh, but he gets a Nerf gun, which is actually kind of great. But these are all items that you find throughout the game, because the game really just starts you off literally on a boat going to this island in New Zealand, and you find out from your granddad... after you go into his rat infested basement, like every RPG to fetch his book, you find out that, through the beginning story as well, that the island's origin is, based in a legend about a guy and his three brothers. And it's one of those kind of legends where people get murdered and, vengeful spirits happen and things like that. So basically this is an island, haunted by the vengeful spirits of these brothers.
So it's a happy story.
It's a very happy story. Now, it's actually just a dark lining around a silver cloud, because the game itself is rather delightful. It's funny. It's got a lot of charm to it. It's realistic, I think. It also, interestingly, teaches you a lot about New Zealand, because... on top of a lot of the enemies being kind of fashioned after local animals to New Zealand, there's also a kind of side quest that you can take on if you like, where you collect feathers from birds that are native to New Zealand, and you fill up a book of them, and every time you get a new feather, it tells you facts about it, and if you get all the feathers, then you get a really good item.
Oh, that's really cool.
yeah, it's kind of interesting that you you get to collect feathers, which
it's a learning experience.
Sort of, yeah, and it's very ancillary to everything else. This game is all about going out into the open world and using what items you have to uncover dungeons, and sometimes it's done rather absurdly. For instance, the third dungeon in the desert, you obtain a plastic shovel for making sandcastles, and then you find this girl on the beach, a little girl, and she asks you to help her make a sandcastle, so you do, and that sandcastle turns into the third dungeon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like this giant, elaborate dungeon, so it's kind of amazing that way. Other little things is that the game contains mini games. There's a really frustrating sort of, I forget what they called it, but it's like a variation on Pong that you play with a face and a TV. I don't know. It's like this. Well, no, it's a microwave, actually. Sorry.
Oh, that makes so much more sense then.
Yeah, exactly. Looks like something out of Undertale, to be honest. But it's a face and a microwave, and he challenges you to a game of Pong in order to get a feather. And there's also a video arcade where you try to beat this kid's high score, and he gives you a feather. And the game is a top-down shooter, much like Galaga. So this game has little games programmed into it, which I really appreciate.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, it's all about running around this island, getting through dungeons. It's very... If you like the Earthbound aesthetic, this game is perfectly that. It's very much Earthbound and Mother 3 style, somewhat cartoonish sprites, maybe looks like they came out of a Peanuts comic.
Which makes me sad that this isn't on the Switch. It's like this and Swords of Ditto recently were both Earthbound inspired visually, but they're not on Nintendo. What the hell is up with that?
Well, the thing is, you're going to have to buy it on PlayStation, and then they'll have enough money to put it on Switch, which, because Switch is becoming such a fast-growing console for these kind of games, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would work for them, but I don't know, maybe they've got it in the works. But yeah, right now it is a PlayStation exclusive. You can only get it on PS4 and Vita, but if you buy one, you get both.
Nice.
Which, I should say a word of warning. I got very confused when I went to download this because both, I think by error, both programs said PS Vita. So I just chose the one that I could choose anyway, and then I downloaded it, and then it said there was an error in this program, and so I was like, ah, nuts. And then I went back to the menu, and there it was, and it worked just fine.
Nice.
So don't be, when you buy this game, don't be alarmed if it does that. They may have fixed it by now, but
the joys of pre-release.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned you get two copies for $13 on this. For the $13, what is your verdict?
Absolutely get this game. This is the kind of game I look for. Like, I always want to play stuff like this. Very much the charm of it reminds me a lot of Blossom Tale.
Another good game.
Exactly, yeah. Blossom Tales is an extremely good game. In that it takes the Zelda formula, does something more interesting with it, and, you know, the classic Zelda formula, of course, because Zelda is still doing interesting things, but you don't see a lot of 2D ones running around anymore.
Sadly.
So, yeah, this is taking up that mantle. It's got charm, it's got heart, it's got challenge. The puzzles, the dungeons contain some actually really interesting puzzles. My cat is yelling, yeah. Yeah, did you challenge yourself? So, Wilfred says buy it.
Sounds good. Well, Wilfred, the next game that you're here to meow about is called Animal Super Squad. It's like it was meant to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Developed and published by Double Moose Games, that released May 15th on the Switch for $9.99. Animal Super Squad is a physics-based adventure game that lets you play as your favorite animal, speed through a world full of dangers and bananas. Create your own levels, share them with the community, or forget all that nonsense and just play other people's stuff instead. Chris, tell us about this one, as I almost said fuck during the intro.
Well, if they would have
fuck
printed
all
it,
this
then
stuff.
If they would have so printed close. It, you could have seen it. Close. Okay. Yeah, Animal Super Squad. That's the name of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, he might have chilled out by now. So Animal Super Squad, yes, this is a, as they say, a physics-based puzzle game. Now, this utilizes extremely squishy physics that are very entertaining to watch.
What do you mean by squishy physics?
Everything acts like it's made of like some kind of bouncy, like gelatinous material, you know? Like, so your initial character that you get is a big chicken that is, I guess he's not a big chicken, but it's the chicken that you see as the icon when you download it. And, the chicken just acts, it seems like it has no bones because you don't actually run around or anything. You use the shoulder buttons or the stick to roll in a direction, and he just kind of tumbles and rolls across the everything, and you can do this little hop, and it's rather funny to watch. I actually had the privilege of showing this to my 5-year-old niece, who was very into the look of it. So it is entertaining for children and adults. And occasionally you will get a vehicle. Which the first vehicle that you get by default is a toilet, which makes a very rude sound when you hit the boosters. So that's the kind of thing we're dealing with here.
Nice. I approve.
And the second vehicle I actually like quite a lot. It looks like an old jalopy, like just an old turn of the century, like wagon wheels type of car.
Nice.
But its boost, it's called the toaster because its boost, you have to hold down for a second and then it works. So, and then it pops you into place. I actually ended up having the most luck with that one. You play as the chicken for quite a while until you start unlocking other animals. It seems like there's probably 6 total, but there might be more because it looks like there's room for more. It just says question marks for 3 more spots after I got 3. So, this game is full of secrets and unlockables. Almost every level has a secret level, which is a much shorter, much harder level, where you really have to get used to the game's physics and, or just completely luck out. And that usually nets you a new hat or a new other kind of prize. You can put a fez on your chicken if you like, a safety cone, a boot, so things like that. And then in the interim, I unlocked a frog with really long arms that I think they didn't program all the way, because occasionally when things get really chaotic, the arms will just start splaying across the entire screen. Like that old Nintendo 64 cartridge tilting thing.
Nice.
Yeah, it was actually really funny. So I was like, I hope they found that and then left it in. Because it doesn't affect anything. It's just really funny. And a puffer fish who, like I said, if the chicken gets thrown off the screen or whatever and you have to start the level over, you know, you're basically your quote-unquote death. He just poofs into a pile of feathers. Well, the puffer fish, if you do the same, he explodes into a bunch of sushi.
Nice.
Yeah, so pretty good.
Good stuff. So, did you dabble with the level creation at all, or did you check out any of the community stuff?
I did both. I am a thorough reviewer.
I was going to say, you're good at your job.
So the level creator is thankfully pretty intuitive and detailed. You basically get to do everything that the creators of the actual levels get to do. You just choose a platform and set it wherever. It has a copy-paste feature so that you don't have to wear out your thumb making like one little slat of platform at a time.
Nice.
You can make loops, you can make boosters, you know, barrel cannons like Donkey Kong Country. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. And you have a pretty large field to play with. So I was going to try and make a whole level, but I just did not have the time. But I feel like if I really wanted to, I could have probably, if I didn't have so much more else to do, I could have knocked it out pretty easily. And a testament to that is the fact that the game, just came out, right?
On the 15th, yeah.
On the 15th, yeah. There's already, 3 pages of user levels.
Oh, nice.
And I noticed on the day one when I got it, because I think I got it slightly before it came out or right around the time, there were, levels that were, PewDiePie should try and play this. Markiplier should play this. Like, people are trying to get attention
from Lord.
YouTubers and stuff. Yeah, I know. So annoying. And, you know, the levels, there's good news and bad news. And I'm actually used to this because I played a Wii game called Blastworks back in the day, mm-hmm. which was an amazing horizontal shooter that had a really cool gimmick, and it had user-made levels that got shut down pretty early because they kept using licensed stuff and recreating it. And then, of course, the Wii no longer has that support, so there's no more of that at all for that game. Which would be something I would say is maybe a cautionary tale for this kind of game, is that make sure those servers stay up for a long time. But anyway, so the user levels, if you just scroll through all the user-made levels, you wind up with quite a lot of bullshit. Like, there's one level that was called I Just Wanted the Trophy, and you start it, and it's like...
Fuck, yeah. It's one of those games. We went through that with Infinite Mini Golf, because that's another game where, you know, you could create your own mini golf courses. And there was an achievement and a trophy for just making a course and sharing it. So obviously this game is on PlayStation. I forgot to mention it's also on Steam and PlayStation.
Yeah, but I guess that's actually important.
On the bright side, it seems like it shares levels across all platforms, which is neat.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah,
if someone made it for a trophy and you're playing that on the Switch, there's no trophies on Switch.
No, but there are in-game achievements. There's plenty, I think. Oh, and speaking of in-game achievements, I wanted to scroll it back to Reverie for just a second about the game's absurdism. If you go to the option, there's one option that just says pineapple. And if you say yes, you get a trophy that says on the right side of history. Because you selected pineapple on the hidden pizza option. That's pretty great, yeah.
So what that means is you need to make a pineapple level in Animal Super Squad.
Yeah, there you go. And then we'll say pineapple, and they'll cross them both.
Did you run into any dick-shaped levels yet?
Not yet. I'm sure I will. There's plenty of time. Yeah, there's all kinds of time. But anyway, what I was going to say is that the good part of the whole user-generated content, you know, you have the silly levels like those. And, you know, I played a few that were pretty unplayable. Some of them were pretty fun. But they have a separate section where they've sorted out the ones they selected, quote unquote, the best ones. So the ones that actually resemble levels in a video game, there's a whole separate section where you can just scroll through those.
Nice.
So they took out the trash a little bit on that one, and I appreciate that. Yeah.
So it sounds pretty awesome. $10 on this one. What do you think?
$10. I say right now, great. It's a good time to go and get it because, you know, there's some pretty good user generated stuff. It's a good time to get in there and that level creator make a really good level that winds up being on the top. They'll make you super famous in the Animal Super Squad, community. The adventure mode is actually pretty fun. I could recommend it for $10 based on that alone, which of course in the distant future, when they shut down all those servers or stop supporting it, then that's all you'll get.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, you know, it is what it is. And as far as that goes, but yeah, $10, I say worth it.
Sounds good. And Double Moose, if you're listening, how about some fucking Xbox support? What's going on here? Infinite Mini Golf is on Xbox.
Listen, my 5-year-old niece, I just bought her Minecraft for the Xbox with her own Minecraft controller. So she could be playing with the chickens too right now.
The creeper or the pig?
The creeper.
Nice.
The creeper is on sale. Plus, plus the pig isn't really it was a gift from me and my girlfriend, and she doesn't like the pig one. She says it's ugly.
I like the pink pig controller. I like that. Ashley has.
I liked it myself. I liked it myself. But the creeper one was $15 less, and my niece loved it. So,
oh yeah, that works then.
That works.
Chris, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Do you have any final thoughts to wrap it up?
I don't know. I would personally choose no on the pineapple, but apparently I'm on the wrong side of history on
that one. Gotta get that trophy.
Gotta get that trophy.
All right, ugly jump cut back to me. Royal Sefton's here. No reason. Give us final words to end the show.
Who did I call? I'm trying to order a pizza.
What size?
Extra large, like man would order.
All right, toppings?
As much pepperoni as you can fit on it.
All right, extra large pepperoni. That'll be $19. We'll be there in about a half hour.
Hell yeah.
When your fist has got a feeling, and your legs are made of fire, and you've done your devil's dealing with your deepest heart's desire. You can't deny the eagle's roar, though your heart is stone. 100,000 allies, still you need to fight alone. You've got to go for it, nothing to show for it. Who's there to answer the call? Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all.
Been tripping whole time that you've been sitting, pretending it's forbidden. Life stories get rewritten all the time, but it takes a lot more than strong words. Maybe it takes work until the whole of your soul hurts. Forwards, always keep that steady ascent. Can be yesterday's news or recurring event.
In the coolest air of midnight, where the puppet people play, in the neon of the pretzel light, you need to stay away. For beneath you lies a dragon, ooh, and a mighty dragon's kiss. Oh, my mama told me there'd be troubled times like this. Over and under, lightning and thunder, I'll pick you up from the fall. Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all. Stronger than them all.
After years I thought the fire would die down, but felt the burn inside of me so much on my meltdown. You'll push it to the limit like you don't even know how. The race so astronomic like you can't even breathe now. You're so loud, making sure they're hearing your war cry. You're so live, it's been hiding in you this whole time. My oh my, we're bolting out of the park. Going at a legend, you're just leaving your mark. Made so many alterations, they should call you Adobe. Got sweat from your brow like you know that it should be. Come on!
Over and under, lightning and thunder, I'll pick you up.
Under that sweet life, country in the west side, main eventing and you're sitting ringside, sand duning and we're tearing it up, I finished leveling up, I got this big ass truck, yeah, it's a staple here around my community, I'm riding high at each and every truck opportunity, all the bells and whistles, yeah, I got that, if you got a problem, needs a truck, we can solve that, all that. It's got a ton of torque and spin. It's got a lot of good truck stuff, I'm sure of it. Ready y'all weather, the seats got fake leather, and the dealer told me that I couldn't get much better. Now
the wheels go all the way around, and that's all I need to get by. I may not know much, but I know that when I'm showing up, I'm showing up impressive.
To cause amazement, it's got a spare tire and 5 liter displacement, man, all that horsepower and direct eject. I'm thrilled I got a model that still rocks the tape deck. Big backseat for my kids, I keep it tight, got a max payload and it's totally white, probably hauls a million pounds, it's basically a semi, may not have specifics, but I know it's got a Hemi, baby.
The wheels go all the way around and that's all I need.
mistake, it never fails. That's why you'll find me out at the lake, searching for whales. Or I could just save money and time, and I can go to Carvel and I'll find Budgie the whale.
The time seems longer. Where are my options and where are my obligations? My attention span wilts. Oh, my attention span wilts. I am waiting to die like my father in exactly the same way my father did. I am waiting to die, waiting to, waiting to die. It's important that I feel important. I am going all night about politics. I am waiting to die, waiting to, waiting to die.
your microwave dinner. When not distracted by hunger, every idea is just a one-hit wonder. Each thought in the can is just a flash in the pan. Wanna change the world, but I don't think I can. Can't be a cynic, cause I know it's not me. Feeling still burned, till my tank's on empty. Punish my body, what I put inside me. Daring the devil, you know where to find me. Could it get worse? Well, I bet we'll find out. This a bad patch, or is this my life now? Fight for a life that we can't afford. And in the meantime, just so damn bored.
Not a big statement, but that is Carvel, and we must say it. Thank you.